Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 11. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 15 through 20. And let me get to the screen right now. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Grafted In as a Wild Olive Tree. What does that mean? Grafted in as a wild olive tree. Praise God. Praise God. So this is the portion of Scripture in chapter 11 that I really love how Paul describes us Gentiles, how we were grafted in by faith. And it was because of the Jewish people who rejected the gospel came to us. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Amen. So let's look at these verses of Scripture and let's expound them. And we'll allow the Holy Ghost to have His way tonight. Amen. So here we go. Verse 15. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, here we go, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Ooh, did you catch that? You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief, they were what? Broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. So we are to walk around with a reverential fear of the Lord. Amen? We are to understand that if it wasn't the grace of God, God would only have saved the Hebrew people. But because of the hardness of their heart and because of how they basically did not believe that Jesus came then and there at that time, God opened up the door for us. But guess what? God already knew it. God already had a plan for us. This is not plan B for God. This is plan A. Hallelujah. God already saw all this played out. He goes, okay. And watch me bring in the Gentiles. And watch them glorify me and magnify me. Woo! Let me ask this question. Since you've been saved, can you honestly say that you have worshipped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? Oh, yes. Why? Because God takes us from darkness into His marvelous light. God reveals how dead we were in our sins. And He awakens us. He quickens us. He allows us to see that we were once headed to a fiery place called hell. And that God saved us. Woo! How many so blessed to know that you're not going to that horrible place? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He has heaven prepared for us. And it was all done by faith. So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 15. Here we go. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? You see, my friends, Israel's rejection by God meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world. And guess what? 2,000 years later, we were included. Praise God. You see, God has, He had always planned to include us Gentiles. Turn to your neighbor and say, God included you.
God included you.
Amen. Even if that meant a temporary setting aside of the Jews, because he had a son on the side. He goes, okay, I'm going to come back to them, but now I'm going to focus on you. Amen. And so this was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. Look what Isaiah says in 49:6. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be, what? My servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus was the light. The anointing of God came to save us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we are so mighty blessed that God had a plan for you and me 2,000 years later. For me, it was 30 years ago. I don't know when you got saved, but for me, it was 36. Because I turned 66 last week, so I got saved when I was 30. So it's been 36 years by the grace of God. Now, I don't know how long you've been walking with Him, but let me just say this. All those years, all those months, all those weeks, all those days, all those hours, all those minutes, and all those seconds have been a blessing to me. I don't regret one second of my salvation. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The prior life, the BC years, yes, but not getting saved. Because after I got saved, yes, everyone still experiences trials and tribulations. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But guess what? We have victory because of the blood.
Amen.
We have victory because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got victory because we have faith knowing that He's coming back for us.
Amen.
We have victory knowing that we're not going to be in this body forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you know that God created a new body for you?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. Oh, down here we do all this stuff just to maintain it. But He's going to finally make the new one where we don't have to do all the things we do today.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
No more.
I should have listened to my wife. She goes, drop me off downtown. I'm going to get my hair cut. And it's only going to be about a minute. So I said, oh man, that's going to be like 2 hours. As soon as I got off the freeway here, she called me. I'm done. He said, just go to Sprouts, go walk around. It's going to be that fast. Woo-hoo-hoo, man. Man, I gotta listen to her more often. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, see, you know what? When we get that new body, we won't have to do that no more. Can I get an amen? We won't need no haircuts. Matter of fact, there's nothing for me to get a cut. Yeah. Now, look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church here. Look at this. Now, all things, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us, look at this, to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Aren't you so blessed when we got grafted in? He took away your sins, past, present, and future, and He tossed them to the sea of forgetfulness. How many are so blessed to know that God won't remind you of your sin no more?
Amen.
But your enemy will. Your enemy will. Oh, Satan will remind you of what you used to do, what you used to be. So whenever he does that, remind him of his future. Tell him that he's about to get tossed into the lake of fire. That should bring you great joy. Don't come and mess with me no more. Oh, that's right. Look at Paul. Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesians right here in 2:16. That he might what? Reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Hallelujah. At one time we were an enemy to the cross. At one time we didn't want nothing to do with God. But look at now. Now we say, praise the Lord. God bless you. Can I pray for you? Hallelujah. Now we can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Now we can speak life into someone that is spiritually dead and watch God make them come alive.
Yes.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God has done for us. To me, I'd rather have all that, what I just said, than to live on Sugar Hill on a big giant hill with everything that I want here on this earth. Why? Because it's all going to burn up. But I'd rather see people come into the saving knowledge of God.
Right.
You see, when the chosen people who were designated as the vehicle of God's blessing to the world actually blocked that message from getting through. Oh, that's right. They tried to do that. God made sure that the message arrived anyway. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes. The Jews were always trying to stumble those that were called the way. Back that ministry back there in Jesus' time was called the way. That's right. Not orale way, but the way. That way. The way was they were known as the born again church, laying hands on the sick, watching people get baptized, get filled with the Holy Ghost. They had an apostolic empowerment. And that's what we want. We want to do what the apostles did. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Preach the word of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Speak to their dead soul and watch God raise them up and then baptize them in water and watch God fill them with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That they can live a holy life before God and be transformed. You see, my friends, when the Jews come to Christ, and God will accept them back, there's going to be a great rejoicing as if dead people had come back to life. Listen, in Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says that when he returns back, I'm talking about the second coming. This is not the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is not his second coming. I hope you know that. Because he's never going to touch the ground. We're going to meet him in the clouds. And then he's going to whiz us away for 7 years as the 7-year tribulation takes place on this earth. But when we come back with him, he will put his feet on the Mount of Olives. And many of the Jews during that time, one of two things will happen. They'll either fall on their face and cry out, "Oh God, it was you the whole time," or they're going to harden their heart and go straight to hell. Wow. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. You're either for him or against him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You're either with God or you're not with God. There's no in between. Though we may not grasp all the nuances of Paul's extensive arguments throughout his Testament writings, his purpose is unshakable. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Everything he wrote has come to pass. Everything that he said about our heart condition is so true. God gave him an insight on how we operate. You know, only the Holy Spirit can show you who you really are in this flesh. Because we want to cover it up. And here's a perfect example, and then we'll move on. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did they do immediately? They covered it up, huh? They got some fig leaves, and they were covering up their nakedness. Well, this flesh we live in wants to cover up all of our sins. And the Holy Spirit exposes it and shows you who you really are. And so you either get right or you get left. He wants to give Gentiles every reason possible, saints of God, to welcome their Jewish brothers and sisters in faith when they come into the saving knowledge. I know a lot of Jews that got saved already. Look at the ones that we've gone to Israel with. Look at the one that took us, we went with, Jonathan Kahn. You remember, he's a Messianic Jew. Did you know when he gave his heart to Christ, he was on top of a mountain in New York City? And that mountain is where all the witches and warlocks would come and sacrifice unto Satan. And God had him climb up that mountain. He gave his heart right on top of that mountain. So you know what God said? I'll save you anywhere. I'll save you on top of a witch's mountain. Because God owns the mountain. He owns all the cattle on what? On a thousand hills. Woo! Thank you, God. And so at the same time, he wants to help his Jewish brethren reciprocate that huge welcome when it comes. You know, we've been to Israel and we've seen people make aliyah. You know what aliyah means? That means welcome back home. So God's doing two things with a lot of Jews right now. He is putting a hook in their mouth and he's fishing them out around the world and he's bringing them back to the land. So every day there's planes coming in and a whole lot of Jews are coming off the planes from around the world, and a lot of them are saying, I don't know why we're here, but we just all of a sudden have a desire to be here and to live here. And so they're making what's called Aliyah, welcome back. But for those who he wants there and they don't want to be here, there in Israel, he's going to chase them back home. So guess how he's going to chase them back home? He's going to cause persecution in those areas. So they get tired of being persecuted, and now they're going to come home. But what's the purpose of all them going back to Israel? Because when Jesus, I just mentioned, when he touches the Mount of Olives, they're all going to be there. He wants them all there. That's why they're all coming. Listen, we live in prophetic times right now. These times are exciting. These times are prophetic. I hope you know that. Woo! The king's about ready to come. Listen. Keep your eyes on Israel. That's letting you know what time it is. Keep your eyes on Israel. What's happening there? Because that's the time clock of God. Can I get amen? And the Jewish calendar. Thank you, God. Let's move on now to verse 16 of Romans chapter 11. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are what? The branches. And so, saints, Paul believes that Israel's refusal to accept Christ, we all know it's just temporary. And that one day the nation will be brought back to God. And he explains this throughout the scriptures. Look what Jeremiah 2 and 3 says. Israel was what? Holiness to the Lord. The first fruits of his increase. All that devour him and will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. You see, this is a prophecy that God called them first. Can I get amen? And then they refused when Jesus came. So the enemies devoured them. And they were scattered for thousands of years throughout the world, wandering. They were the wandering people of the earth. But God did not allow them to be extinct. So you have Jews in Africa. You got Jews in China. You got Jews in Poland and Germany. You got them here in New York. There's a whole group of them here in New York. You got one right here on Madrona. Rabbi. Yeah, you got them everywhere. They're still here. But they're coming back home. And so this is why we know it's very close. Because in 1948, it happened. The miracle happened. Israel became a nation in one day. And once that became a nation, you can now start the clock. You can start the clock now. Because he said when they become a nation, that's when he's coming back again. Now, a day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. We may think, what, 70 years have gone past, but that's nothing to God. God knows when he's coming, but we're seeing the signs. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And it's close. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right up here. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may have a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So listen, when we get saved, we must become what? Sanctified, holy unto God. And leaven is a type of sin. Did you know that we still deal with sins even after we get saved? Do you know that we're not perfect? Listen, if we were perfect, we wouldn't need him to come back and change us. But we need him. Because our mind is still sinful. This flesh is still sinful. But our soul and spirit has been washed in the blood. And we have a new nature now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And that new nature now wants Christ. And so that's why Paul said, there's a struggle. There's a war now. You know, the war didn't take place until Christ came into your heart. Then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. I don't want to do that stuff no more. But yet I struggle because there's a battle now. Let me just say this. Even the things that God has delivered you from, they'll raise their ugly head again. If he's delivered you from alcohol and backbiting, pornography, all these things that he once delivered you, and maybe you were walking like 10 years on fire for God, watch out, because the enemy is sly. He is sneaky. He is sneakier than sneaky. And all he wants to do is get you to sin. And get your mind off of God. Because when you get your mind off of God, that's how the enemy renders you useless for the kingdom. Because you're struggling in that sin, and you're going, oh, and you're battling in your mind. And guess what? The focus has left on your calling. Now you're struggling. Man, I want to go witness. I want to do this. But man, I still struggle here, God. Listen, you need to understand, we're going to struggle all the time.
Right.
You got to just bury that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Put it under your foot.
Yeah.
And said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when you start doing the things of God all over again, like, you know, going back to your first love, the joy will come back. The anointing will come back. The direction will come back.
Yeah.
But you got to press.
Yeah, press.
You got to press.
Press through.
Press through. Amen. That's why some of us need breakthroughs. I forgot who it was, but someone last Sunday, I heard someone say, man, I'm empty. I'm empty. You know what? God will allow us to go into that desert. And let me just say this, whoever it was, sometimes it's a good thing. You know why? Because it puts a craving in your heart for him. You know why? Because the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I get amen? Once you get a taste of God, you don't. Nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing will. Nothing in this world can satisfy you anymore. That's why you need to stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. And God will help us. How many believe that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for? How many believe that God can strengthen you in your situations at home? How many of you can honestly say that God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory? And let me just say this. He will do it time and time again. Just don't believe the enemy that he's through with you. He's done with you. That's a lie from the pit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God is for us, not against us. God wants to see you soar in your faith like an eagle. Like an eagle. That brings me to a story. When Yolanda and I, we were in Israel, we were at the Feast of Tabernacles. And there was a pastor there that had a church of over 150,000 people from South America. Huge! Just huge! And he shared a story. He shared a story about the eagle. You know how in Psalms it says that God will strengthen an eagle? Okay? Don't grow weary in well-doing? Okay. The story he shared was this. That an average healthy eagle can live up to 125 to 130 years old. But midway through that life, because it's a predator, it dives down for snakes. It goes into battle with small little mammals. So the claws get weared. The beak gets weared. The feathers get tattered. And some are lost through battles on the ground. And after several years, he goes, maybe 25 years, 30 years, it flies up to the top of this highest mountain. And it allows all the feathers to grow back. It says that it even breaks the rest of the beak off if it's broken, and the claws, and it waits until everything grows back. And once it's been renewed like an eagle, that's why God said be renewed like an eagle. Once it gets renewed, it takes a leap of faith and dives off that mountain, and if it keeps going to the ground, it'll hit the ground and die. But if it lifts and it soars, it lives for another 25, 30 years. And so God wants us to be like that eagle. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God wants us to be renewed. There's going to be times where we go down into the desert. But allow God to restore you there. Allow God to renew you there. Allow God to minister to you. You know what? That's where I get ministered to when I'm in the desert. When you're on the mountaintop, you're just like, woohoo, yeah, man. And sometimes it's hard to hear from God because everything's going so good. Money in your pocket. People are not arguing with you. People are still your friends. You know, everything going well. On the job, everything. But when God allows those things to be stripped from you and you hit that valley point, allow God to minister to you. Allow God to speak to you. Amen? And so, if the root of the tree is justification by faith, is holy, then any branch attached to, nourished by the root that will also be holy. Let me just say this. Because we are attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are holy because He is holy. Bible says, be holy for I am holy. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know, I thought about that. We can't keep ourselves holy because we still have a sinful nature. We become holy because of what he did on the cross for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He proclaims us now justified by faith. And so knowing that, don't allow the enemy to blackmail you. Can I get an amen? And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to blackmail you. He wants to point out every negativity in your life to bring you to a place of unusefulness. He wants to render you useless. And when he gets you to that point, he's done his job. And God has to just restore you. And God is what? God is long-suffering. Uh-oh, here we go again with this one. Just imagine. I know God laughs sometimes. Let's move on to verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree. Let me ask you this question before we finish that. Were you a wild child? No?
Well.
No.
Not me.
I notice he says wild. He could have just said olive tree. He's just a wild one. Because many of us were wild. Some of us couldn't be tamed. He needed to put a Holy Ghost lasso on us, huh? Oh, yes. Look at that. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, God did not tear down the entire tree. But some of the branches were broken off because of sin and unbelief. We're talking about the Jewish people. He had to break off those branches. And then he stuck in the same olive tree a wild branch. Us. You. Me. Praise God. How many are so blessed? I can see us. How he picked us up sideways and stuck our head right into the tree. These branches are Jews who failed to respond to faith, to God's mercy. Mercy. That's what God was to us, merciful. He showed us mercy. Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, say that with me, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off had been what? Brought near by the blood of Christ. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. It was Jesus who brought us to God himself. Look what else I found in Galatians 3:14. Look at this. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is why I'm always advocating. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost if you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost. If you've never been drunk in the Holy Ghost. Listen, we all been drunk before on the things of the world. But when you're drunk in the Holy Ghost, there's no experience like it. The corners of your mouth will be pinned to your ears, and you will look through someone else's eyes that's inside of you. There's actually someone inside you, and you're looking through their eyes. And it's this joy you can't comprehend. It's like walking in ecstasy. You can't describe the joy when the Holy Ghost, when you're drunk in the Holy Ghost. And I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord that one Thursday night, when the custodian led me to the Lord. Now God delivered me from all the things that I was addicted to, the alcohol, the drugs, and all those things that you know what he delivered me from. But at that point, I still never been drunk in the Holy Ghost. And so when I was led to go to North Park, and these people are running around, and they was just jumping up and down, I go, man, am I in the right church here? And I remember one of them said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I go, yeah. Well, I got saved. I got saved, you know, last week. You go, but have you been filled? You'll know. Because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Your tongue will take off. And you will know that you know that you know. I go, I don't think I've experienced that. And so that Sunday came after I got baptized on a Monday night. And Brother Felipe had me in the back, this back room. It's like another chapel inside this church. And you know, we were in there praying for hours after the Sunday. I mean, I was getting tired. In the name of Jesus, just say hallelujah. And I was tired. And there was a brother sitting behind me, Elder Smith. He goes, Brother Fee, the Holy Ghost is a gift. You don't have to beg for it. He goes, just ask for it. I go, I've been, you know, for over an hour now. Hallelujah. I love it. I'm just doing what you guys are asking me to do. He goes, what do you love in life? I go, I love a lot of things. He goes, do you like going camping? No. There's some that camp, but I'm not a camper. Do you like to go on picnics? Yeah. He goes, do you love your family? Yeah, I go, I love my family. And then he goes, do you love sports? And my eyes lit up. He goes, ah. He goes, what do you love in sports? I go, in this order, boxing and football. He goes, there's nothing wrong with that. He goes, but I want you to do this. Go in your heart of hearts and tell God, I kick those two off the throne of my heart and I put you, Christ, on the throne of my life. And when I went back in, I said, okay, football and boxing, you got to get off. Jesus, sit on the throne of my heart. Amen. Brother Felipe just put his fingers. He didn't do one of these neck breakers in the name of. All he did was touch me. The Holy Ghost fell on me. And I was in tongues for 3 hours. Amen. I couldn't stop. It just kept flowing. It just kept flowing. And I said, come on, nobody was telling me to do this no more. It was automatic. And man, the corners of my mouth were like this. And man, I was so drunk. I was like, oh my gosh. And I came to an understanding at that moment. This is what I've been looking for all my life. And I was trying to find it in other things. I try to find it in women. I try to find it in drugs. I try to find it in alcohol. I try to find it in money. But what I wanted was that. And it happened to me. And oh my gosh, From that moment on, I was never the same. And I can honestly say that was then where I understood I've been called to do a work. He wants to give those who are watching right now, those who are here, that you can have that same gift too. Because he gives it graciously. But he gives it to those who earnestly want it. And they want to give up those things in life that seem more important. You got to kick those things off your heart and put him there. And once you learn to do that, oh, he will manifest himself in you like no other. You'll have a power that was never there that's there now. And you'll want everyone to know in your sphere of life, all the people around your sphere. You know, there's people in your life I'll never meet in my whole life and vice versa. So in your sphere of influence, once you get the Holy Ghost like that, you'll want to tell each and every one of them. And you won't be ashamed. And that'll be the first thing on your mind, is to let them know what happened to me. Because you won't be able to stop talking about it. It's hard to understand when you don't have that experience with him. But when it happens, oh my gosh. You know, the Lord, this is not on my notes. The Holy Ghost took me here. There's purpose for this, what I'm saying. I prayed before I started tonight that, oh God, whatever you want to say, say it. I got notes here, yeah, and we have an outline and we try to follow it. But then when God, the Holy Ghost speaks, I have to just set aside and let him speak. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's move on to verse 18. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Ooh. So never boast on what God is doing in you, because it's not us doing it. It is God doing that thing through you. Can I get amen? That's in you. He needs to get all the glory. If you don't give God all the glory, he doesn't want none of it. Give it all to him. Let people know in your life how God is using you. Let them know in your prayer life, oh God, I thank you for what you're doing in my life. Because it's all about you, God. It's all about you, Jesus. But the Gentiles, the wild olive shoots, that's what we are, who have been grafted in into the cultivated olive tree, which is Israel, have no grounds for bragging. We don't. There's nothing for us to brag about but thankfulness. We need to be a thankful people. Amen. See, God, thank you. Thank you for them that refused you. Thank you now, hallelujah, for your mercy. Because now we're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so, look what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you were dug out. Look at this. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Praise God. And then Isaiah said this, the Lord called your name, green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. Praise God. And guess what? Because he had to break some of them off, we've been grafted in. Woo! The Gentile branches, you and I, we need to remember that we are just as dependent on the root for the survival, just as the Jewish people. Just like the Jewish people need God, we need God too. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God has not changed his original plan. Salvation stems from the promise to Abraham and God's choice of Israel, both Jews and Gentiles. We all share the tree's nourishment based on faith in God. For Paul, though, the only appropriate attitude for any branch, as I mentioned, is humble thankfulness. Be thankful to God for what he has done. How many are so blessed to know what he has done in your life? And guess what? Until he comes back for us, he's going to do a whole lot more. He's going to do a whole lot more. Any attitude of superiority is to be avoided. Can I get amen?
Amen.
For it might indicate that grafted in branches are candidates for the same fate as the original ones that had been broken off. No. He has saved us. And he has won the battle for us. Can I get amen? He has won the battle and he also has won the war. But we still have to go through. But he's there with us. How many believe he's with you? There's a precious couple that's not here. They would be here if it wasn't for the affliction. If you're watching, God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even in the midst of affliction, God is still faithful. God will still remember you. We have to come to an understanding, saints, that we're not going to live in this flesh forever. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
We're here but for a moment. Make the best of it.
Yes.
Live at peace with one another.
Yes.
Learn to forgive one another.
Yes.
Learn to serve one another.
Yes.
Learn to love one another. Let bygones be bygones.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Don't hold anyone to their haughtiness or their rudeness that they left upon you. Forgive them. Even if you have no way of getting a hold of them anymore, forgive them in your heart. And God will start filling that gap with his joy, his love. Let's move on to verse 19. We only got two more verses. We got 19 and 20. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. You see, my friends, a Gentile believer might make that argument. It is true that it was necessary to break off some of the branches in the grafting process. But it would be a mistake to assume, saints of God, that Paul is limiting God's acceptance. As if there was only so much room on the tree for the branches. The point is not so much replacement, but opportunity for us to grow in the grace of God. That God has a plan for us Gentiles. And he has a plan for them still too. Can I get an amen? Paul wrote this to the Galatians. Look at this in Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Holy Ghost that I talked about is by faith. By faith. Look what else he wrote. He wrote this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ, what? Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has promised you, to be an heir in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Look at this. In Jeremiah 11:16, the Lord called your name, green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and his branches are broken off. Look at verse 17. For the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against for you for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in the offering incense to Baal. So he was saying, because of their direction that they went, God turned to us. Woo! And guess what God's going to do in the future? He's still going to tear down their idols that they have now. He's going to tear them down. And a lot of them are very... He's going to tear down the religious system. He's going to tear it down. Because they don't have a relationship. It's just all ritual. Do's and don'ts. And so, the idea, saints of God, it's not that the Jews were broken off so that we could take their place. But rather that they were broken off so that the Gentiles would have an opportunity for justification by faith, and that it might become more clear to us of his mercy. I am so thankful to God. Aren't you so thankful to God? This is understood by Paul's assertion that even broken off branches can be grafted back in. Aren't you so blessed? So the ones he broke off, he just sets them aside. When it's time, he plucks them right back in. Look at verse 20. And we end with this verse. Well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. So do not be haughty, but what?
Fear.
But fear. You see, saints, the real reason some of the branches of the tree, some of the nation of Israel, were broken off was because of their stubborn unbelief. Now, I don't know how many times I've been in Rabbi's office. Reverend, I read the New Testament many times. I said, oh, great, Rabbi. So every time I leave his office, you know what I say to myself? This brother is a closet Christian. He just needs to come out. Because every time he talks to me, he's always talking to me about end times, about God, and so I know where he wants to go. Oh, he knows. But those who are arrogant, they cherish proud thoughts about themselves. They do not have a proper fear and respect for God. That can't be us no more. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We need to be lowly and humble and loving. And depend on the vine.
Yes.
And who is the vine?
Jesus.
Who is the vine?
Jesus.
Jesus. And this is what John, the beloved, wrote. Look at this. In John 15:1-8. Jesus said this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Look at this. Abide in me. Here's the key now. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Remember that. It's Jesus doing it. And look at verse 6 through 8. Look at this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. I want you to take you back to verse 7. Look at that. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. I shared that story because I was desiring him. I wanted Jesus. I wanted all of Jesus. I wanted all that he had for me. So this is why God's word cannot lie. It cannot go back void to him. So if you read this again, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, you can't bear fruit without him. You can't bear fruit without the Holy Ghost. You can't bear fruit without the power living inside you. This is why when you get the Holy Ghost, because you're desiring it, now God is glorified. You know why he's glorified? Because he's now ready to use you. He's going to be glorified from that moment on once you receive the fullness of God. He will use you like never before. He will take you to places you thought you'd never see. He will allow you to have divine encounters by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You will speak life into those who don't know Jesus, and they will come alive right before your eyes. God wants to be glorified, but you must desire it. Are you catching this? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Look at this. And it shall be done for you. God wants to give you that. But you got to seek that with your whole heart. That has to be your number one agenda. That needs to be on the top of your list. If everything else comes before that, it don't matter now. He'll just wait until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of those things that you're chasing in life. But once you desire that, then there's no limits of what he'll do. And you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you will know without a shadow of a doubt that's what you've been looking for all your life. If you desire him. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of the word of God. Thank you, God, that we can look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm praying for those who have never received the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the fullness of God. Because I feel His power right now. I feel the anointing of God right now. Hallelujah. And if you're watching and listening, and you never received Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too might receive Him by faith. And that He will take you and pluck you in, hallelujah, to the vine as a wild olive branch. And you'll be nourished by Him. And you will know that you know that you know that He is alive forevermore. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. Ooh, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a loud shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is He worthy? Woo, He's worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.